Podcast Radio.
Welcome to OFC Podcast Radio, where every beat, every word, and every laugh is a celebration of our journey. Join Gina the Great, your joy curator, Farrah Hammond-Freeman, the head honcho, and me, Queen Kaya, your soul sister. Stay tuned for a dose of melanated excellence right here on OFC Podcast Radio. But before we do anything else, we're going to bless our show and the kings and queens listening.
Blessed melanated rising, my people. I am so grateful to life. I'm grateful to God, our creator, and I'm grateful to our ancestors for creating another opportunity for us to be able to get together today. And I just ask that the time that we spend on air today, let it be uplifting, let it be entertaining, let it be fun, let it be educational, let it be spirit-led, but most importantly, let it be empowering to each and every one of our listeners as we send out that spirit of love, that spirit of light, that spirit of unity, that spirit of strength, great health, wealth, and peace to each and everyone out there who is listening. Hotep, amen, ashe, aibobo. So grand rising, beautiful people. It is. Really, it's just you and I for the top of the show because, Gina the Great, she's globetrotting. Queen Kaya, also globetrotting. I'm here broadcasting live from this beautiful hot island of Montreal, Canada. Hey, guys, I don't even know where to start, guys. So first off, you guys know how we get down. So how was my week? Drew, can I get just a round of applause for Mother Nature? Thank you very much. Claps, claps, claps. It is. Guys, the weather for September has been nothing short than a blessing. I want to just take a quick moment to give thanks and praise to everybody out there who wished winter away, who wished cold weather away. Thank you for doing your part because it has come through, guys. It might've taken some time, but it has come through. I don't know what the way this September is going. I do not anticipate seeing winter this year at all. But jokes aside, there's two sides to this weather thing. All right, guys, and we're having a conversation. So on one side, I am loving this. I'm loving the weather, I'm loving the heat, and everything has been showing us that these are the signs of the time, with the poles shifting, with the way the planet has a wobble, the way things are happening, definitely the planet is shifting slightly. And it's not just what's happening on Earth, there's a universal shift happening, right? So all the astrals, everything, there's a shift happening right across the board. So it's not just unique to us on Earth, but it's happening. And with it happening, there's going to be impacts on the planet. Now, we are byproducts of this. We are technically Earth in human form. I've said this on more than one occasion. We're so connected to what's happening. But now, Gaia, Mother Nature, Earth, she knows what she's doing. The weather is changing for us here in Montreal. What does that mean? We are not going to have the same type of winters. What does that mean? Guys, what we experienced at the beginning of, I guess it would have been, I've lost track already. Was it beginning of September? When did this flood happen? Was it just at the beginning of this month? Lord, and a lot. Anyways, the flood that we had a couple of weeks ago, I don't want to call that on us in any kind of way. But guys, let's just pay attention to the signs of the times, okay? If it's warm like this, and it continues like this, which it will, we're not going to have as much snow. We'll have more rain. From what we've seen, our systems are not equipped to handle this type of rain. So my beautiful people, please, prevention is better than cure. If you see something coming down the pipeline, do not wait till it hits you in the face. Take a moment, especially if you have children, just take a moment to think ahead, be like, yo, what can I invest in? To be honest, you guys know how we get down within the OFC. I've already started speaking to some members about what we can put together to prepare ourselves for the future. Like we're talking pumps, we're talking water barricades, we're talking even helping members to do some research on their properties to see are they in flood zones. Some people don't even realize that they're living in a flood zone, right? So these are things that guys just all I'm saying, I'm putting that out there. Just think ahead, don't take it for granted. I definitely enjoy and appreciate this amazing weather that we've been having. Just get used to it because we're going to start having more and more of this. I've already started planning my birthday party for 2025, and it's going to be outside. I'm just saying right now, I already know it's going to be hot next year around these times. So that's just what I do. So for my week, so it's my birth strong just passed. I just turned a big 44. Astral numerology 44 is good times, good things happening. It's a revelation time. It's basically 44 means all the things that I've been planting up and been storing and been all the seeds I've been sowing are going to be coming to fruition. So hey, amen to that. Claps to that. So I hit the 44, and what I did to celebrate my weekends, I had a duo, a two part B-Day celebration. The first part was more just like a intimate vibes. We went to the Pub St. Pierre, third second floor. Shout out to the Pub St. Pierre, their partners of the OFC. And if you have not been there yet, definitely go check it out. Let them know you're sent by the OFC. Ask for Layla. She's an awesome bartender. Or ask for Vaughn or Romy. Send them all love. Let them know Pharaoh sent you. Okay. So go to the pub. It was very intimate, very small. Just honestly, just my immediate family. Mad love to the family who came out, and it was the vibe, right? And that's how I wanted to bring in the day itself, right? Just empty vibe, because I knew I had a weekend set up. I had a 3 day party, guys. Technically four with my launch on the Thursday. Shout out to Hype Montreal, Jamila, and the whole crew. I look forward to building with them. I look forward to collaborating with them. I look forward to the OFC and Hype Montreal doing great things together in the future. I think I got to give a shout out to FEMA and Wendy Village Mentes. I think it was FEMA that introduced me to Hype Montreal. But anyways, so Hannah, this weekend, Hype invites us to a weekend excursion. It was a collaboration between SeaPac. For those who don't know, those are they run like all the big parks, national parks and stuff like that or whatever. Parc Jean-Drapeau and Hype Montreal. And guys, when I tell you vibes, yo, so we get there Friday, we get the Parc Jean-Drapeau, we arrive in the space, and it's like we don't know what to expect, right? And anybody who knows me knows that I'm a free spirit, guys. Okay, I like a certain level of autonomy. I'm claustrophobic because of that. I hate being restrained in any kind of way. That's really what it is. So now, obviously, I was a little apprehensive when I came to properly understand that. Okay, so I'm leaving my car at Jean-Drapeau, hopping on a boat with you guys, and going to this island, kind of thing. For a camping excursion. Take that in. Once I got over that panic and that anxiety, it was like, let's do this. Left the car at Jean-Drapeau, had an amazing intro to what was happening, and the minister was there and everything, and the minister of sports and loisirs and all that good stuff. So, it was a awesome event. We get on the boat, we cross the boat, and we go to Boucherville, guys. Now, first of all, it was an amazing ride on the water. They gave us food and stuff like that. We get the Boucherville. Okay, now this was my first time in a turnkey camping experience. All right, so what's a turnkey camping experience for those who don't know? You basically, the tent is already there. You got beds, pillows, fridge, a propane stove, fire pit, heat. In your tent, a fan, and a smoke detector. All right, people, you are in a little, it's like you're glamping and it's turnkey. So you really just, and the fact that's all there, you really just have to bring what you want to eat and whatever be the case, and your sleeping bags, which are good. Now, Shai and I, we camp, we have a retreat. You guys already know. We weren't, I guess we were over ready because you guys already know. We came packed to the nine, so we're well prepared. So picture now we get to the Boucherville. It's kind of dark. They're giving us the breakdown, what's to happen, what to expect. Everybody's nervous, everybody's excited, but it's something where we're looking forward to it. Now, where there was a and I forgot to put it in my feedback. The let's like the initial let's chat on right when we got there, maybe should have been done on the boat or prior, just because we were kind of attacked by mosquitoes. I guess it was a part of the initiation to our camping trip. So anyways, that was all right. Do that thing, do that intro. We grab our stuff, we get led to our tents. We're tent number two, which is blessed, which means you didn't have to go too far. As survivors, we start a fire right away just because we feel like that's what we got to do as survivors. And now we're warned, actually, when they're doing the intro, that the raccoons are very bold, autonomous. They just do what they want to do. So do not put any food in your tent. So we are on guard. We are like, yo, no food in the tent. We got that. They give us these big black bins that go outside, these heavy lid bins that go outside. You keep all your food and stuff in there. We do that. But all night we're on guard. That night, the first night, we definitely heard a homicide, that some animals killed, like something happened in the woods. But that's whatever it is, right? So that was that. Now, the first night experience, I have to say, it wasn't bad. They did come to us a bit late to show us how to get into our tent. So we actually stayed outside of our tent for probably longer than we needed to, just because we were waiting. And actually, thank God, I didn't think I needed to pee, because if it was for that fact, and that I brought her back to the main chalet, where I was able to tell them that, hey, yeah, we're kind of still sitting outside, and they came and let us in. But all right, so we do that first night, check that box. We heard one homicide, nothing crazy. It was an amazing first night, I have to say. No, I can't say amazing, let's say good. What was amazing was the next day, the Saturday. Guys, we went, so we had a choice of activities. I had chosen bike riding for our family and going to the beach. You also had kayaking, you had walking, like hiking, in lieu of biking. Sorry, guys, in lieu of biking, or you could do rock climbing instead of going to the beach. So, did the bike riding. It was an amazing Freeman family bike ride. We rode around Boucherville. So we seen all kind of things. So we rode, and so yeah, so as we rode around this Boucherville campground type of thing, and it was amazing. And again, the whole what I really wanted to do for my birthday was to be able to spend time with the family, connect, be unplugged, like not do no kind of work. And really, I didn't. I was really proud to say I really just took it easy. So riding bikes with the family, we cracked so much jokes. It was so funny. Brought me back to my youth. As you guys know, I'm a young daredevil. So we used to do all kind of things on our bikes. Shout out to the West Island crew falling on our bikes. Back in the day, I don't even think helmets were invented when we were doing our thing. but anyways, I was telling my children, like, I remember falling off my bike so often, and falling off my bike and hitting my head on the concrete. Like, I don't know about you guys, but if anybody has experienced that, like, where you hit your head so hard in the concrete, there's a taste in your mouth. You guys have experienced that? No, just me? Anyways, I'm just saying. It just brought me back there. Not to say I fell off the bike or anything, but it did bring me back to them kind of times. And it was cool to see the children and riding, and us all cracking jokes and just having a good time. So that was such a blessing. And then we came back, had lunch, hopped on the boat again, and we're back at Jean Drapeau, where we just limed out at the beach, did some paddle boating. Now, Hike Montreal, shame on you guys for basically disguising exercise as a leisure trip, because I did not know I was gonna be exercising. I really thought I was gonna be lamping. But when I found myself in this paddle boat now, pedaling my life away, thighs burning, I realized that no, bro, you are working out. You came to work out this weekend. You did not come to chillax. That was fun though. And thing and I, we went back, we did a little bit of everything. We went on a canoe, we did the paddle boating, we did some beaching, you know. So it all in all, the experience was fun. And I'm happy to be able to share it. And I want to encourage you guys as members of this community, connect with nature. I say it all the time. And again, you guys might think I'm crazy or I'm out there, but guys, we are more connected to the earth than we think. We've been tricked to believe that we are separate from the earth, that, you know, as human beings, we are superior and we're the superior animal and superior species on this planet. Guys, as human beings, we're a species on this planet, just like all the other species on this planet. And, but even more, or to even go even deeper than us just being a species on this planet, we are the planet in human form. We are an evolution of the planet. So understanding that, now look at our makeup, how we're structured as beings, guys. We are Earth. All we can do is walk and talk, right? But we need sun, we need water, like we need like every come on, guys. We give off oxygen, the whole nine. There's not one part of us that is different than our counterparts, trees. Okay. Hence why we feel better when we connect to nature. Hence why we feel a way when we feel better when the sun is out, and we feel kind of wonky when it's dim, because we're connected to the elements and to the atmosphere. So in doubt, guys, when you're not feeling 100, take a moment, connect. They say reground. That means take your shoes off and just stand on the earth. Guys, you're reconnecting with yourself, and it helps to recharge your whole energy. It charges your whole being. So this is something that, please don't take it lightly. Don't take it for granted. If you want to know more about it, shoot, reach out to your boy. It'd be my pleasure to explain to you, you know, to share more of this with you guys. But it is like my ask is just that you guys just acknowledge your connection to the whole and to the planet. I'm a very strong believer that if people were to accept and understand and respect the fact that we are one with the planet, we would operate different. We wouldn't pollute the way we do. Like, why would you throw garbage on the ground? Like, that's so disheartening to know that you're at a point where you're so disconnected from yourself and the whole that you're throwing garbage on the ground. You'll pollute. You'll do like we wouldn't do these type of things. But furthermore, we wouldn't do things. We wouldn't do the atrocious things to each other that we do, because we would see ourselves in everybody. We would see our connection to everybody. So please, like, when there's opportunities like this, like where we can get together and go camping as families, go, you know, unplug and get into nature as collectives, take heed, do it, because it's great for your mind, it's great for your body, and it's great for your soul, guys. So we wrapped up our weekend on Sunday. Got back in so after the beaching, went back, had our last night, a bonfire and stuff like that. That was cool. The children enjoyed it. We were exhausted. I think we set up a movie to watch in a tent, and I think all I remember is the pressing play part. When I tell you the kayak, but that's the signs of you had a good time. Everybody's even in Zingo's like, I didn't watch the movie. Yeah, and that is a first, because Zingo will fight sleep to watch the movie, but she slept hard. So just to say again, shout out. And so we came back into the city. It was a great close, great event. It didn't stop there for us, because as we got in, there was Huey had rugby, WestCan had practice in preparation. So there's all kind of things going on. So we just kept it moving, as you know we do as the Freeman family. But it was all to say it was an amazing weekend. I had a great time, and again, it just reminded me of just the importance and the value of just reconnecting with the earth. And I started the week extremely rejuvenated. I'm just excited. And so I'm plugging Hike Montreal, but also you guys know we have the OFC retreat that is for you all in terms of members of the community. If you need a space, first you want to do a glamping experience on your own, we have a space that could accommodate. We're only about an hour and a half out of the city, and you're in nature. One thing that I could say that the OFC offers is that tranquility. I think we have two neighbors, and all we hear is nature. And that is something that there's a value to it. Shoot, I would say, you know, that like it's worth paying for, because it gives you that peace of mind. It gives you the opportunity to unplug and just breathe, take in nature, take it in, take it in, take it in. So, guys, I mentioned that as we came back, WestCan had to dive right into rehearsals. Yo, guys. That's just what it is, because I have Westcan with us today. We have Culture Explosion 4 happening in Trinidad at the end of this month. We're leaving, shoot, as you guys are hearing this, I'm flying out tonight. My flight's at 11. The rest of Westcan is flying out tomorrow. We'll be in Trinidad for the next 10 days, preparing, rehearsing, and tightening up the presentation for the Culture Explosion. I am excited to have Westcan on, and I've been able to even get Miss Christine, who is the director of Belmont in Trinidad, to join us today. So we'll be having a quick power with her as well. So stay tuned, guys, as we take a pause for the cause. We'll be back with Parley with the People, where we're going to dive in with Malika and Shafta from Westcan. We'll have our segment with Gina the Great, and then if we can, we'll see about bringing in Miss Christine, maybe at the close of the show. We'll see how it goes, guys, but you'll be tuning into Miss Christine today. I am excited. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of it. Sending you all love in terms of members of the community. Sit back, stay tuned as we get ready for Parley with the People.
Parley with the people.
All right, beautiful people. So we are back. So like I had mentioned at the top of the show, you know, I'm a big fan of the culture, Caribbean culture, and there's no better group to have on air today than Westcan Folk Performing Company of Montreal. They've been around, like I said, over 40 years representing the culture and keeping it alive in the hearts of the youth and in the spirits of our elders and in the body of us mid-aged people. Westcan, thank you for being with us today. I have the one and only Malika and Shiata. Malika, what role are you playing on Westcan?
Hello, Montreal. I am the managing director of Westcan.
Nice. All right. Managing director and the artistic director with us this morning. Shiata, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having us. Good morning, everyone. We're happy to be here.
Awesome. So guys, so first, you know how we like to get down on our Parley with the People segments. Before we dive into the sauce of what we're here to talk about, I always like giving people an opportunity to hear a little bit about our guests, a little bit of background. And of course, you guys are no strangers to the show. But you know, for our first time listeners, somebody who might be tuning in who might not be aware of this amazing legacy and organization that we call Westcan. So if you guys want to take a moment just to quickly introduce yourselves and your organization, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. So my name is Malika, as you said, and I'm the managing director of Westcan. Westcan is a Caribbean folk performing company. It's been around in Montreal for over 45 years. And our mission is to preserve, share, create Caribbean folk culture through dancing, drumming, singing, storytelling right here in Montreal so that we can, you know, as we say, preserve the culture and pass it down to the next generation.
My name is Shiata. Great job, Malika. I always like hearing the Westcan story. Like Malika was saying, Westcan really started out of the need. It was a void that was felt among the newly arriving immigrants in Canada, in Montreal particularly. And one of the founding members often tells the story of his first Christmas here and all the things in preparation he did, much like would be done back home. You know, people in the Caribbean paint their houses, they cook food, they clean, they really prepare to bring in the new year and celebrate with friends and family, with parang, music, food, you name it. And it's quite a joyous and fun-filled occasion. And when he experienced the nothingness that was happening in the city with regards to, you know, people getting together and so on, he said that he cried, right? Mm. So he cried his first Christmas here, and he didn't think he would be able to make it. And since then, he's developed, or they've started the group Westcan and started performing, but practicing in people's basements and living rooms and so on. And it just shows how resilient our culture is, how our people are creative, and in the absence of the state of being, like if you're not in the Caribbean, but yet we are still able to maintain our existence anywhere, really. Is not, I don't think there's a place on earth you can go and not find a Caribbean person, right?
True.
So I really think that's beautiful. That's something that over the years, like us in our research and development and so on, it sticks out. It just keeps coming back to you. So when our children or the participants in our WESCAN programs understand that, because of course, we microdose information to the people in our registered in our classes, the children and so on. And it really plants a seed of confidence, of knowing who you are, what we have contributed to this society here in North America, and how our culture can really help to anchor us, right? You go forward with this fortitude no matter what you're doing. If you're studying engineering, if you're in the arts, if anything, just knowing who you are, the strength of the people that you've come from, also gives you that extra when you walk into a room.
Yeah, it gives a foundation, and I think it's not for nothing that you'll find a lot of Chinese Saturday programs, Saturday schools. You'll find Jewish, like the Jewish community, they have their things. Like you'll often find within communities there's some type of cultural education to ensure that regardless, because Montreal is an amazing melting pot of all kind of different cultures and things that come together, but everybody is proud of their culture. They stand by it, and they ensure that their future generation, their children, are aware of it. So it is WESCAN is just basically you guys are doing your part in terms of just ensuring that the culture stays alive. So kudos again to you guys for doing that. And again, as parents, are you guys are listening, just understand that it is your responsibility as parents to ensure that you continue to install a particular cultural heritage into your children if you want them to have that foundation that we're talking about. Yes, we're proud to be born here in Canada, but we come from, a lot of us come from other places, and it's a shame to forget or ignore that. So again, thanks for what you guys are doing.
Let's take a quick positive cause just to shout out our homegirls, Kemba and Andrea from Keen Real Estate Group. Whenever you're thinking real estate, whenever you're thinking investments, whenever you're thinking about planning for the long term, think Keen Real Estate Group. They're generating wealth for generations. Keengroup.ca. If your goal is to purchase a car and to make the process as simple as possible, just get a car broker, guys. You just get a car broker. Big shout out to our homeboy, Hamsdale Jacques, the owner of hjcourtierauto.com. That's hjcourtierauto.com. If you're a small to medium-sized business and you're getting started and you're ready to go to that next level, what do you need? You need a phone line and you need a website. Think Mainstream Digicom. They got all your telecommunication needs checked. MainstreamDigicom.com. You're trying to get out on the web. You're trying to understand how to navigate through ads. Check out JavaLogix for all your marketing, your digital marketing. Where would we be without Preston? I don't even know. Check out JavaLogix. I give thanks to Preston for what he's done for the OFC. The amount of positive reviews we've gotten from all his referrals, we're proud to stand behind his work. Check out JavaLogix.com. No, it's not just because he's my brother. It's because you can't talk hip-hop in Montreal without saying MCity Solo. Guys, check out his latest project, In My Feels, available on mcitysolo.com. If it's not one of the hardest new EPs to hit Montreal, come and let me know. You already know. It's your boy, Faro, bigging up mcitysolo.com. Keeping the culture alive. I gotta give thanks to WESCAN Folk Performing Company. For the last 40 years plus, they've been promoting our culture through song, drum, and dance, educating youth, the children, the seniors. Just check them out, WESCANfolk.com.
Girl, what are you cooking?
My curry chicken.
Ooh, you're burning it.
Oh, gosh, it looks so...
It's okay, girl. You need the Curry House. They have the best Caribbean food in town. Two locations in Montreal, West Island and Côte-des-Neiges. For more information, follow Caribbean Curry House MTL. Don't forget to mention the Empower Hour for your 10% discount.
So, who placed in the order?
Me.
DeVito, WizKid, Burna Boy. Those are just some of the big names that's blessed Montreal thanks to Afrobeat Montreal. Definitely check out Afrobeat MTL for all concerts, show listings, everything that has to do with Afrobeat in the city. Check out Afrobeat MTL. One full circle. We are the Melanated Community Resource Hub and Network. What does that mean? We're here for each other.
Oh, yeah. So now, guys, it's an exciting time as we've been filming a lot of behind the scenes clips. There's a lot of things going on. A couple of years ago through WestCan, I had the opportunity of meeting this exceptional group, Belmont. I think the first time we met them was when they came to Montreal, if I'm not mistaken. They came as a huge collective. I got an opportunity to meet our brother, Mikhail Tejak, who's also now a member of the OFC. And it was an amazing experience. So if you guys could share a little bit, and we will, I'm excited to say that we will have the director from Belmont joining us from Trinidad on today's show as well to talk a little bit more about their organization. But if you could share a little bit with the community, for those who might not know, what that whole experience is like connecting with Belmont and who Belmont is and stuff like that.
Yeah, so in 2013, you know, we have these wild ideas. We're like, yo, let's go to Trinidad. We're going to do a cultural exchange. So we took our group. We said, who wants to go? Let's go. And we went to Trinidad. We had liaison with different kind of groups in Trinidad. So we went to Northwest Laventille. We went to Malik. We went to Marcia Charles. We went to all these groups. And we also went to Belmont Freetown Cultural Arts and Folk Performing Company. And we did a cultural exchange. And the vibe was just nice, right? So after that, you know, we kept in touch with them. And they become our sister group in Trinidad. So they come up here, we go down there. They come up here, we go down there. And it's really just been a symbiotic relationship ever since that time. The two times that we did host them here in Montreal, you know, they were able to perform, they were able to do cultural exchange workshops with different kind of cultural groups here in Montreal. Because, you know, like you said, Montreal is a melting pot, a mosaic. It's actually both of those things, yes. So they were able to meet with different cultural groups and, you know, just exchange and showcase Caribbean culture and learn about other cultures as well. And the last time they were here, we did a show tribute to the Trinidad and Tobago contingent for Expo 67, and they were able to be part of that. And as you say, Mikhail Teja was as well part of that show. So, and every time we go to Trinidad, you know, we're performing for King and Queen, Show, Dimash, Grau, we're performing here, we're performing there, we're dancing. So it's really just been really, really cool. And we're very, very appreciative and fortunate that this year they've invited us to perform for their fourth annual Cultural Explosion showcase in Trinidad and Tobago. So guys, we're excited and we're heading to Trinidad.
Claps. That sounds so exciting.
Yeah.
Cultural Explosion 4. Okay. And so what can the people expect? Like what, like again, I've been privileged to see some of the things happening behind the scenes, but for those who don't know, what is coming?
What is coming? Well, we've been working extremely hard artistically. We're going down with about a team of 17. Is that right, Malika?
Yep, 17.
People leaving from Montreal. From even we have someone joining us from out west in Alberta. He also had to make the trip. But we are presenting two pieces from WestCan. And we're also doing collaborative pieces with them. So we've been working extremely hard. The show is going to be amazing, thrilling, edge of your seat. Like it's going to be culture in its grandest form. Mm. We've been working with costume designers, Malika herself. She wears many hats. She's designing costumes also. The musicians, the young drummers and the young dancers have been working at a level that I have never seen before. And I'm so, so very proud of them, because it shows that when the time comes to put in the work, they're able to, you know, like we have lots of fun at WestCan. We meet, we practice, we rehearse, we do fun new things, we try new things, we stage our presentations. They get that experience, but now to get an experience of performing internationally, it's beyond words, right? So I'm extremely happy, extremely proud for this experience and the possibility. And yeah, so that's what to expect. Expect a lot of great things.
So now, and let me ask you, and as I'm talking, and I'm letting the listeners know, my goal here is to try to do my best to document this process as we're traveling to Trinidad and keeping people abreast. And even this will be a part one. We definitely will be doing a part two with you guys next week, as we will be in Trinidad and we'll be broadcasting from there. So we will make it a point to do a part two of this interview. I think it's what I would like to know is how, as a community, we can support you guys. How can we encourage you guys? How can we let the world know more about WestCan and what you guys have been doing?
Yeah, so we have a fundraising campaign going on right now. It's through Zephy. If you check our social media, you'll be able to find the link. And, you know, people can make donations. Every little bit helps. You can donate through the Zephy link. You can donate by sending us an email and we can give you the link through there. You can give us a call. Call me personally, 514-641-9149. Shoot an email off, info@westcanfolk.com, WESTCANFOLK.com. Even visit our website, westcanfolk.com. You can check there. The Zephy link is there. And, you know, we've had some businesses and community organizations here in Montreal that have taken up the mantle and have supported us in terms of sponsoring our trip. So I'd like to shout out our sponsors. We have Hilltopper Sports and Cultural Organization. We have Golden Roots out of Brooklyn, New York. We have Multicultural and Diversity Project, Playmass Montreal, Culinary Fusion King. We have Java Logics. We have the OFC, who's a sponsor as well. Wink, which is a
VA services.
Yeah, it's virtual assistant company. And Maida Shadgi, Rain Carnival, and Warren Lewis have, graciously agreed to sponsor our trip. So we want to say thank you to our sponsors. And people have already started sending in donations. So thank you to everyone who has donated money to our heritage voyage, is what we're calling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is really, it's turning out to be quite the pivotal point, right? Because I think this is really an experience for the younger performers that's really going to help them to make great memories and great connections. And thank you to all people who have supported WestCan over the years and have continued to support WestCan. I know that we are a group of very ambitious people, ambitious individuals with reason. And we thank you all for supporting us along the way. We come up with these crazy ideas and we always try to, you know, be innovative and think of great ways to present our culture and to enhance it and grow. And we thank the Montreal community for the help that they've given us over the years.
That's huge. And the thing is, like, I appreciate you guys for always pushing, always trying to raise the bar, not letting the organization become complacent, and really, like, just pushing the culture at the forefront. And you just said it, I think it is huge. And if I have an opportunity, maybe I'll try to grab one of the youth to give me their perspective as well. It is a life-changing experience for a lot of these youth coming up. And I remember when we were younger, a lot in high school and stuff like that, you'd have field trips where they'd be going to Paris and different places like that or whatever.
Right.
You're right. But yeah. But there's obviously there's that cultural void. Like that's not necessarily our type of, what we would call it as a cultural educational experience. But this is, right? And this is something, and again, I'm speaking to the parents out there who might not even be looking at like this, but if you have youth sitting at home, especially your tweens who are just like, yeah, they're kind of in their own thing. This is an amazing opportunity to get them to, one, connect with other youth, connect with the culture, and have opportunities like this where they can actually travel. And it's something where I was blessed to be able to participate in the WestCan AGM just recently. And guys, there is a need for membership. There's a need for people to come out and to connect with WestCan. So if you're hearing it and you're like, how can I get involved? How can I help? At the very least, just start with just becoming a member so that you're involved, you're plugged in, you know what's happening, and you could contribute where you can, and you could just, just continue to help and plant that seed for our next generation.
Don't be afraid. Membership does not mean that you have to come and perform.
Yeah, right, exactly. Good point. Very
yeah,
good point.
And you can also subscribe to our monthly newsletter. We have an amazing newsletter that we started, I think it's been about a year now, but it's wonderful content. Like every month we have so much information to give about characters, about culture, and you get to see what WestCan's been up to. I also want to add that we're always thinking of ways to appeal to the youth and get them involved. And I have to say that if you have a child at home, a young teenager, preteen, whatever the age may be, but they have a passion for performing arts, regardless of what it may be. Because I remember when I was a teenager, I was involved in every form of dance you could think of, from ballet, hip hop, jazz, contemporary. And I was also fortunate enough to have a stage or scholarship with BTW. And that was really a great foundation, because with all that experience and the knowledge that I had from all the different styles of dance, it really helped me to anchor myself in Caribbean folk. And also with WestCan, one of the added benefits that we often don't really speak about is the fact that we are a performing group. So when you join WestCan, and if you have a youth that is interested in performing, getting knowledge and information about stage crafting, which is something that is not necessarily always available to our youth, right? With WestCan, through WestCan, we've learned an immense amount. We've been on stages, we've been to places. WestCan has really opened up a lot of doors and given us so much experience that it's immeasurable, right? Mm-hmm. So that is the biggest pull I could think of for a youth coming up that really enjoys performing, wants to get more experience, get on stage, just to get out there and really overcome some of the challenges that are faced with performing arts.
And the awesome thing is that it does build their self-esteem. It does build their confidence. It does.
100%.
Yeah. And like you had mentioned at the beginning, it helps to build a certain foundation in these youth, which is exceptional. And again, and like Malika was saying as well, the thing with joining as a member within WestCan is that there's different facets and different assets to it. But we're in a technical age. Like, if youth are out there and they want to help you guys, they want to help WestCan with social media, they want to help and come and join and take pictures, they want to just be a part of the vibe, and they just want to, you know, just be a part, I strongly encourage you guys to just to come out, just come and experience, because this is what community is about. This is what you know, the culture is about. So definitely, and yes, we are talking Caribbean culture, we're talking Afro-Caribbean culture, but know that the culture is open to all nationalities. Anybody who's out there who does feel like, you know, they want to come in and just get a taste of it, just know it's open to all nationalities. Everybody who wants to get a feel for what the culture is welcome to come and participate at WestCan. Now, I can't have you guys jump off air without planting this seed to everybody who's listening. It's time that we get WestCan a building. I think it is time that WestCan has been around in the city for long enough, guys. I'm putting it out there. I'm putting it out into the universe, into everybody who is listening, everybody who's tuned in. It is time that we come together and we establish an actual WestCan center. Again, you guys have been around for over 40 years. It is time what you guys have done, what you guys are currently doing for the youth, and what you guys are continuing to do for youth and the future generation. Not just youth. I'm talking youth, adults, and the seniors. It's time that WestCan have a home. So guys, what are the plans? What are the needs? And we spoke about the trip. We spoke about WestCan in general. What can we do to help to push this thing forward, to help WestCan with getting a space?
Yeah, so it's in the works. It's in the works, guys. Oh gosh.
We're really developing behind the scenes. We're going through it. Definitely there is a void in the city in terms of cultural spaces for English-speaking Caribbean community, and it's unfairly so, right? So we really are working hard. We're doing what we have to do, what we can do behind the scenes, logistically wise, to prepare ourselves, building a strong foundation so that moving forward, we really intend on having a building, a space of our own, where we can express our culture, where like it goes beyond borders, where people feel welcome. It's open to all, as people who are interested in learning about Caribbean culture, as people who are interested in performing arts. It's like we really wanna. We are in dire need of a space that is adapted and suitable for our culture and our community.
Well said. So guys, now I planted that seed out there. Other community organizations, in this case, we are looking for Anglophone community organizations who are looking to collaborate. And this is obviously, actually, no, I shouldn't say just Anglophone community organizations, but in this particular case, because shout out to Alan and the whole crew who have been able to come together and establish an amazing space. Well, they're in the process of establishing an amazing space in the downtown core. But we know it is not enough. The demand is huge. And like we had mentioned, within the English community, there's a clear disparity. So it is, that's the reason why I put it out there for the Anglophone community to come together to say, let's create a cultural space. Still supporting Alan what they're doing downtown, but we do know that there's just a need, and there's enough culture in the city to merit a second location. So that's why I'm putting it out there, guys. Reach out to Westcan, reach out to the OFC, reach out to OFC Podcast Radio. If you hear this and you want to get involved in any way, just reach out and we will do that bridge. So guys, so as we're preparing to close off, are there any final things that you guys want to remind the people of? Just let us know anything that we need to remember. And then I'm going to need some empowering words from you guys as we're closing out our interview.
Yes. So, I want to say again, thank you to the whole of Montreal for supporting and being behind WestCan for all these years, 45 years. That remind everyone that we will be leaving this week. This is the week we are heading on planes to head to Trinidad and Tobago to perform at Belmont Freetown Cultural Arts and Folk Performing Company's Cultural Explosion Part 4. And we're taking our youth contingent and some of our old bones to Trinidad and Tobago to perform. And, if you wanted to give a little donation to help support your cultural ambassadors as they head abroad to represent Montreal on an international stage, you can give us a call, 514-641-9149. Give us an email, westcanfolk.com, or visit our website and make a donation. Thank you very much, everyone.
Yes, so we like to say a great big thank you to all of our supporters, and to continue, stay tuned. We have quite a number of trips or countries that we're going to be visiting in the next 2 months or so. So it's going to be a busy time, and I'm looking forward to filling you all in on the developments. WestCan has also taken up the charge of cultural ambassadors, so really connecting the Caribbean, connecting the dots through cultural exchanges. And I'm happy to announce that I'll be going to St. Lucia for the Creole Festival, which is at the end of, I'll be there at the end of October, and to take in the sights and sounds and to make connections with groups out there, because as we know, Creole culture is a huge part of our Caribbean expression. Mm-hmm. A lot of the songs and so on have that French influence. And we know that St. Lucia's country that was turned over, gained possession by the English and French many times, I think up to 14 times. So it's a rich cultural ground. So I'm really looking forward to getting there, planting my feet, and seeing how things grow for WestCan and the connections that we can make out there.
Well, this is going to be fun, so it's Trinidad. And then actually, we didn't mention it in between there's Panama. Shout out to Hilltoppers, looking forward to that trip. And then at the end of the month, it's St. Lucia. So I think, Shai, if you're down, we'll tap back in with you just to understand how is it going? How's your cultural Caribbean tour going? And just, have you pop in ever so often just to share with our audience in terms of how your, how the cultural ambassadorship is going.
Sure, no problem. You could call it travel with me or something.
Nice. let's do it. So guys, so as we're wrapping up now, as you guys already know, we're always here to empower our community. So I'd like to know if you guys have any empowering words that you'd like to leave with our listeners for today.
Yeah, this is just a reflection of my week. At work, my boss put up a picture of, I guess it's Yoda, the little green guy with the ears.
Yes.
And he says, it's either you do or you don't. There's no in between. So if you're gonna do it, do it. That's my words of wisdom. Empower yourself.
Yes. Snap. And Shiata.
I always say, I was looking up one, but I always say that one hand doesn't clap, right? I remember my grandmother saying that many years ago when you're younger, maybe not understanding quite fully, but in the Caribbean, you say one hand, no clap. And that means that together, working together, we can make a resounding sound, and we can really make a mark. So working together is the way to go. And we thank everyone for their continued support to WestCan again. And yeah, so we clap it.
Yay, that's love. Thank you guys. Thanks for joining us again today on the OFC Podcast Radio after being a guest with me on a parlay with the people. I again only have praise for what you guys are doing. Proud to have WestCan as members of the OFC, actually partners of the OFC. So we're glad to continue to encourage, and we just looking forward to the expansion and the growth, and for getting to that point where we're cutting the ribbon in front of the West Kansas Center. Guys, stay tuned as we are now taking a pause for the cause, and we'll be back with, I think we're coming back with Gina Great. Peace.
Thank you, OFC Podcast Radio.
Thank you.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Actually, it's time to ungrind those gears. Let's get into some interesting facts, tips, and a whole lot of fun with Gina the Gray.
What the facts is going on? So in this week's highlight of Black Excellence, we're talking about 18-year-old Khalifa Amunu. Khalifa Amunu. He creates sensory glasses that help those who are visually impaired walk safely on their own. So it all started in Aminu's childhood when he grew interested in building things after watching movies, he explained to the Daily News 24 TV. That led him to build his first project, a canoe. And it opened his eyes to building intentionally and to help out his community. So he's born in Kano, Nigeria. He cites other work, including radio stations, a bomb detector, and an automatic water spray for farmers. All these inventions were made by me alone, without any support or material provided by mass production. So Aminu's next invention is now sensory glasses, which can help the visually impaired navigate their steps safely and unassisted. Infrared sensors attached to the glasses are able to detect approaching objects. He says, "I grew up in an area where there's visually impaired people, and I understand that what they're going through. This is why I began the process for technology-based solutions for them," he said in a video. While speaking to Tunashiki, he claims he began working on the glasses in 2023 and is still working to complete the invention. He hopes to innovate the product further by inserting a voice prompt over a beeping sound and enhance it to perform better in nighttime conditions. So the glasses, he quotes, "It is used to help the blind. It was tested by a blind man and it impressed him."
How did he know it worked good?
So, well, you know, blind people walk around.
Yes.
And they usually walk around assisted with a cane and or a dog or an animal.
Okay.
So if this blind person used these glasses and it helped him walk unassisted, then he would say, "This helped me."
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the blind man suggested four things, and I know a lack of material will hinder me. So he suggests a wired switch, smaller parts, and black lenses. This is what he said he needs, and he will use it if they are implemented. So essentially, he's still working on the progression of these glasses, and I think it's remarkable. He is looking for funding and, you know, cutting investments on that. But for an 18-year-old to be on his fourth or fifth invention, shout out to him, doing great things.
And where is he?
Kano, Nigeria.
Why am I not surprised? So much awesomeness comes out of Africa. we spoke about it last episode, but it's just the level of consciousness that these youth are tapping into. The genius, I'm just not surprised. So, but he just needs resources.
He needs resources, yeah.
It's so funny, eh? Because we have so much resources and wasted resources within North America. We spend money on stuff, like we waste money on stuff, we squander, mm-hmm. and like they could do so much with what we, you know, waste out here. They could do so much with out there. But the system really does a really good job of creating a huge gap, a huge divide.
Well, you know, shout out to him for using what he has and getting to where he is with that. And so hopefully with this article and this pushing through the social medias, it will get more people involved and put him in a disposition where he can help more people. Mm-hmm. And so I think I have like a common thread in this segment, obviously. And this is like the So this is another dilemma, Reddit dilemma, like, and it's like an existential question that this person's asking. And they say, should I stay on my current path or go all or nothing trying to fix our current world? I'm a current student who wants to double major in physics and aerospace engineering. I love and have loved since I was a child modern physics and the insane world it describes. However, I am both very pessimistic about the current state of the world and everything in my being wants me to do something about it. I had originally planned to maybe just write and publish some essays, start a YouTube channel, stuff on the side. But the more I see the game college and the state of our world, the more I want to fight against the systems that even in present times I can feel weighing me down. Which is the better thing to do? Pursue physical knowledge while still following my beliefs and finding a career or committing myself completely to what I believe in, to what I believe in to help others. He adds, P.S., I say he, but they. I have no idea if it's a he. They add, I have no delusion of grandeur that I'll be the next Gandhi or something. I just want to do what's right and the most that I can with what's right. What do you do in their shoes?
Where his passion is or where their passion is in doing what's right for the people. I would encourage that person to pursue where their passion is. However, there has to be a balance because you can't live solely for others. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's not balanced. So it's like if they have a passion or an interest in order, they want to, advocate against something, they want to fight for something, what's a little bit gray is just listening to what it is. It's like what they want to fight against seems like almost like injustice. It's like it's a broad thing.
Right.
Right. It's a broad thing you want to fight, and which makes it where it's like, what do you really want to change? So that would be my first question or my first suggestion to the person. Yes, pursue what you want to pursue what you're passionate about. Take a second and really acknowledge what is it that you actually want to see different? What is it you want to change? And now how can you actively productively implement change in that avenue, right? Like, and I'm sorry to say, but just picketing, or just like those things kind of make noise in cans, and yes, does create awareness. And if you feel
they're still necessary,
mm-hmm. if you feel just creating awareness is enough for you, great. But you got to do that. You got to really, one, I always say, go with what you feel, what you're passionate about, because life is too short for you to just do what you think is right, just to make a check, because you'll quickly realize that sucks. So you want to do what you're passionate about, but you just want to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward and you're putting your energy into something that would yield fruit for you.
Well, I hope that the original, the OP would know that you can do both. Mm-hmm. In a sense where you do need the picketers, you do need the people who are yelling in the streets for awareness, but you also need people in the rooms that other people can't get into.
Right.
And in pursuing a very specific educational path, one, you're in rooms with different people that other people can't get into. Mm-hmm. And then you can focus whatever it is that you're studying and whatever you're working towards. So this is physics and aerospace engineering. Take that and figure out how you can take that to help the people be better, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are things in physics and engineering, aerospace engineering, that can help humankind, yeah. Right? And I'm not saying you're going to build a spaceship and that's going to help all humankind. it's much more than that you can do with that. But then it's getting the knowledge to be able to figure out what can I do to have to help that space. So like you said, when you identify what it is that you want to help with,
yeah,
and hyper-focus on that,
yeah,
if nothing else, you can leave this earth knowing that I did all that I could for that. Because it is admirable, but it is not on the shoulders of one person to be able to change the whole entire world, but you do have to start somewhere. And mm-hmm. so
Yeah, and it's funny though. And I was speaking, I can't remember who it was. One of our members, actually, now I remember who it was. And we were just talking about how, as just regular people, we actually can change the world if every regular person just did the right thing, you know, like, if we actually have enough influence that it's like, you know, you watch things that are happening, like the atrocities are happening in the world and all kind of different things. Like, let's use a random example. Like, if we were tired of paying exorbitant gas prices and everybody really just decided, you know what, all in cohesion, we're going to stop buying gas. Like, just all the regular people who have to go to work, go to school. We're like, you know what, forget it. All us regular people, we're just gonna stop buying gas. Mm-hmm. The powers that be would fold. They would have to buckle, because it's like, oh my god, it's like, now all the consumers who basically are empowering us are using their power against us, right? But, and that, you know, I just look forward again to the day that us as human beings realize that just our regular, us being regular, just doing it in cohesion actually is enough.
It's very powerful.
You know, like, I really look forward to that. But yeah, digress. But very good point. Good scenario for homeboy.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking about making the earth a better place, I'm going to talk a bit about, I'm going to play a little video about Singapore and how they manage their waste. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys know about Singapore. So Singapore used to be part of Malaysia, and it's known as a city country, I think is what it's called, or something like that, or a state country. And they kind of separated themselves from that to become an independent country. And there's a lot of strict rules in Singapore about being eco-friendly. It's very clean there. They don't even sell gum, because you can't chew gum and spit it out. So it keeps, like, the grounds really clean.
Is that where the guy years ago got caned? Was that, remember some time ago?
Caned.
Yeah, there was a guy from the United States that did some debaucheries and ended up getting some lashes.
I don't think Singapore.
Canings, no?
That doesn't sound like Singapore.
We'll look into it.
And then the other thing about Singapore that's really interesting and fun and in that area too of South Asia is, you know, Hakka?
Hakka Tui?
No, not Hak Tui. Or Hak Tu. No, Hakka. Food.
No, not familiar.
So Hakka is pretty much like the term fusion. I don't know if the term fusion comes from Hakka, but Hakka is basically fusion in whatever language. But Singapore is known for that, and it's basically the fusion of a lot of different ethnic foods. Got it. Because there's a big population of there's a shared population of Indo-Asian, Chino-Asian, and Arabic people in Singapore.
Okay.
And some of the best foods I've eaten. Hands down. Like, right. Just hands down, some of the best food I've eaten in Asia, and I think generally speaking. So, I mind you, it's expensive to live in Singapore, and a lot of people who live in Singapore got that guap.
That's good to know.
But they have a good mindset of how life is supposed to be. Anyway, so let me play this.
Did you know that in Singapore, trash disappears without a trace? And recycled plastic bottles are used to make some of the world's best roads. Singapore is the country of the future, where there is virtually no waste. Here, plastic bottles are transformed into excellent road materials. In Singapore, all waste is disposed of in just one day. Every day, over 2,000 trucks collect all the garbage and transport it to a bunker. Across the country, there are 4 waste incineration plants, where waste is burned to generate electricity used in residential homes and other buildings nationwide. The smoke from the incineration process undergoes thorough filtration, making it safe for the environment. The ash remaining after burning is mixed with cement to produce bricks. As for plastics, a Singaporean company recycles them into a material that completely replaces traditional bitumen in road construction. If you're not following the Iron Will Project, you're probably never going to see us again. But if you are, then congratulations. You're growing every day.
So, with all the potholes that we have, mm-hmm. and with all the waste that we do, I know Singapore doesn't have winters like we have.
Right.
But I feel like we should be looking into this.
I don't think the government wants to do any better. I don't think it's like...
There's a garbage island, literally a garbage island in the ocean.
That's it. And that's what I mean. That's the contrast. Like, that's just to tell you, like, that garbage island doesn't have to exist, because the knowledge to do better does.
Right.
Right. But the powers that be that are, that do have a certain level of influence over certain things, are choosing to keep the planet in that way. Why? Mainly because they don't care about the planet. And if I really deep dive, I don't even think they're really native to the planet. So there's a certain disregard for this place, right? Those who are more native to here would feel it differently and care for it more and feel differently when it's being mistreated. And we'd always strive to clean it and to do what we can to recycle and whatever. But then there's the other powers that be that are also here. And it's just...
Well, yeah. keep it up, ladies and gentlemen, because one thing I've seen is that nature does... do what she needs to do.
Always.
So as when you think you're doing this, you think you're having that, in comes a tsunami.
In
comes an earthquake. In comes hurricanes. In comes all these different things. Like she's a living, breathing thing, and she will react.
Yeah.
The same way how you need to defend yourself.
Talk about
the planet defends herself too.
Yeah, and if you really think about the elements, like you just listed all of them, like really all of them in their own way, when they're ready, like you see wind and you're like, yeah, it's wind. When it's ready, it's really picking up your house. That's a twister. That's wind. That's breeze right there. That's your house in the air. That's your house down the block. That's wind. We already know what water does because we all just felt it not too long ago. And that was a baby splash. Compared to what water could really do?
Compared to where the actual hurricane was, because those were just after.
Talk about it. Thank you very much. So you understand. And then when the earth is ready and it cracks and opens itself up, or when it shakes and you're like, yo, is this the whole ground shaking?
Hi. Atlantis, anyone?
Thank you.
Or not. And even if you want to be like, oh, it's fictional. There's a whole island that got
sunk.
Floored.
Guys. It's to understand Lord. Earth and now
Grenada went through, like, actually I think there's still part of Grenada that's inhabitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The volcanoes, anyways. The volcano, yep. Now, and then last but very far from least, you got fire. And when fire is ready, fire is such a raging, like, it, but again, like, and this is nature. This is what comes from it. And you want to mess with this?
Oh, yeah, and fire sometimes is not literally the flames. It's the it's those images where all of a sudden it's like, it's May and it's 40 degrees outside and you can cook eggs outside.
Yes.
On the cement.
Yes.
That's part of fire.
That's guys. Part of fire too. That's part of fire. In case you were wondering. Anyways, I like to be on the side of nature. So that's why I vibrate the way.
Well, this might be the last week I do it in terms of the old phrases that we use today that and finding their origins. It depends. I'll see. I kind of miss trivia a little bit.
I think I'm ready for trivia to come back.
Yeah, well, we might bring that back. But so perhaps the last little segment of this, but let's find out some other old phrases that we use and where they originated from.
Phrases we still use today and where they originated from. In the 18th century, hat makers used a toxic substance to create the felt used to make the hats. This substance would cause mood swings, loss of coordination, memory loss, and even paranoia, hence the saying mad as a hatter. During times when football was on the radio before televisions were a thing, the pitch was divided up so it could be followed easier by the listener. If the ball was back in the goalkeeper's box, you would hear, back to square one. In the 1920s, if you attended a carnival and played a game to win a prize as an adult, you would try to aim for the top prize, which was a cigar. But if you did not get to this prize, you quite literally got close but no cigar. Back when newspapers were written with typewriters, each letter was called a sort. And when you run out of letter type, you quite literally run out of sorts. Back when pirates roamed the seas, they quite often got very drunk on board and would go beneath deck to rest if they felt ill. When they did this, they were under the weather. In ancient India, it was a religious act to throw butterballs at the statues of their gods to seek favor and forgiveness. Hence the saying, butter someone up.
And I feel like I've used at least three of those sayings in my lifetime.
Butter someone up. There was one that it was still a question mark for me. We're checking the boxes. I didn't get it.
Back to square one?
Back to square one, yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, so you know when you try something, like let's say you're trying to do something and everything fails, you're like, oh, I'm back to square one.
Right, yeah.
So I'm back at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was some baseball thing. So when they were explaining where they were on the field or in the game, it was like, okay, well, they're back to the beginning. They're back to square one.
Okay, man. That went over my head. I was like, what?
You know, some things do. Some things do.
Right.
Well, that's it, guys. I grind, you grind, and sometimes we just need to ungrind together. That's Ungrind My Gears with Gina the Great. We'd like to thank our special guests in this episode as possible. Thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, Andrew, and the Caribbean Curry House. Do you have any shout-outs?
Some quick shout-outs. So big up again, Big Will. He had his event last week. And he has another comedy show. Actually, it's a tour coming up in November. So definitely reach out to Funny by Nature, connect with your boy Big Will, support what he has coming up. We have our sister Nadia, the Diamant Bleu, Nadia. I'll see if I can get her on the show with us next week. She has her event coming up. She hosts these mental health conferences or workshops. So this is a brunch and conference is held on Saturday, September 27th at the Centre Saint-Pierre. Basically mental health of our parents and the needs of our youth. There's such a need here for this type of event. I wish I was going to be present for it because it's going to be huge, but unfortunately I'm going to be out of the country. But I strongly encourage everybody to participate. Mental health is important. Aside from that, like the developments within the OFC community, I'm super excited. Again, just a reminder, the values of what it means to be a part of the OFC. We have 8 core values. Number 1, honesty. 2, accountability. 3, transparency. 4 is love. And when I say love, it's love for self, love for others. 5 is building for our youth. 6 is your commitment to excellence. 7 is acknowledging or respecting the planet Earth. And number 8 is acknowledging the ancestors. Those are our core values. And we have 2 golden rules: do unto others as you want done to yourself. And the customer does not always have to be right, but they do have to be happy. And those are the golden rules of the OFC community. So if you resonate with that, you're feeling that, you want to be a part of this type of community, understand that being a part of the OFC community, all it means is that you have a desire to connect with others who share the same values. And if you're an individual, you actually want to support community businesses and initiatives. If you're a business owner, you want to provide a quality customer service. You want to provide a quality product to your business, to your clientele. That's why people join the OFC. It's not really that complicated. There's a lot of benefits of when you join. Obviously, you get access to the OFC podcast radio. You get access to our networking platforms. You can connect with other individuals. You get your own listing on our directory. For those who are now starting up and you might not have a website yet, your directory listing can serve as your website. There's tons of things that we could do. We have the healing retreat and campground that's available to you. And as a business owner, if you're at a point where you can level up and become a partner of the OFC, we could also support you with sales support and different kind of marketing to ensure that you are generating revenue within your business. So guys, this is really what it means to be a part of this community. So we're putting it out there. One of the things that I think makes us stand apart from every other community organization is the fact that we have member services. And what does that mean? When you call for help, you need a resource, you will get somebody, you will get help. There's tons of outlets and avenues. We actually pay a resource to be there to serve the needs of our members, right? So this is something that we pride ourselves in, because we are here to be a support and to be a help for members and within the community. We host events, and one of the things that we do when we host events and activities, we are expecting our members to come out because we're here to engage. But if you can't, all we do is we remind the members to let us know they can't attend, and that's it. That is your engagement. Just letting us know, I can't attend your event for whatever reason. I'm not interested. I don't have time. The day wasn't working. The schedule conflict, whatever it is. That's the base of what we ask of our members, because by providing us with that feedback, we know that either the events and activities that we're hosting are beneficial to you all as members, or they're not, right? One or the other. But the idea is to make sure that what we're providing to you guys are in line with what you guys need and what you guys want and what you guys are interested in. And that's really what it is. So again, If you resonate with any of these things, one, you could check out the ofccommunity.com for more information about what we do, or you could just reach out to us at 514-651-4545. You could call directly, or you could send us a message on WhatsApp, or you could email support@ofccommunity.com. It'd be our pleasure to have you. It'd be our pleasure to build with you. We are looking forward to seeing the future of this ORC community. So with that, guys, I am wishing you guys an amazing rest of your Thursday. I am looking forward to the next phases in life. Enjoy this weather. Just remember, plan ahead, because with this beautiful weather will come a new reality. Peace and blessings, everybody.
And I'd like to shout out the new generation of the children who are coming and who are here and coming, I should say, who are here too, because I truly do believe that you're going to save us all. I do see the shift that we're doing in life, and I am a lot more optimistic about where we're going. And it may or may not be in this lifetime for myself, but I do see a positive uptick on that. And so, and I say that in a sense where there's still a lot going on in the world, but the wool is no longer being pulled over a lot of people's eyes. Mm-hmm. And we're no longer just going with the motion and not actually paying attention to what's going on in the world. So I think it's like where there's a lot of awakening happening. And so shout out to that generation.
Yo, I'm glad to be here. Glad to have you guys here, man. I'm glad to watch you guys and do your due.
Kings and queens, this was the OFC Podcast Radio with Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, Queen Kaya, and myself, Gina the Great. We're on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment. Stay blessed and highly favored.
OFC Podcast Radio.